Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce Podcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. And we're archived as well as podcast on AEWFradio.com. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. Hard to believe it's April already. First Friday of each month, we talk to this guy, Dorsey Hager, Executive Director of the Columbus and Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. ColumbusConstruction.org is a website. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. Mr. Hager, welcome back to the show. And how are you doing in these crisis times in America, sir?
Doing good, Flash. Doing good. Very challenging times, obviously. How are you and your family holding up through this?
Well, we're doing okay. I work normally at the Cleveland Municipal Court. We're pretty much shut down, just doing arraignments there. But the regular dockets are all being delayed for about 6 to 7 weeks. And for the show, I've moved the operation to my den in Independence, Ohio. And I want to tell you, I'm getting real comfortable here. I'm kind of liking this. So I think you're going to see some changes in the workforce down the road here, because a lot of, you know, I know instruction is being done online, and I mean that's just gone through the roof here. But in your industry in construction, which is deemed essential, I want to zero in on that, and how are your brothers and sisters doing down there? Because, you know, Dorsey, it's like a switch went off here. You and I, for months, if not probably the last 2 years, there has been a boom in construction, especially in Central Ohio. You were telling me all the billions and billions of dollars of projects. We're seeing a lot of that here. We got the Sherwin-Williams building. The new building, the new headquarters that's going to go up, I understand that's, I'm sure that's going to be delayed a little bit, but my God, this has changed life in every aspect, not just America, but the entire world. But my question to you, how are the members holding up right now because of this?
Well, it seems like under the circumstances, I think the members all deserve a huge A+. I think they're holding up really well. I think the managers and agents and representatives and organizers are doing really well. I think the contractors, our contractors, are doing pretty well as too. I mean, like you said, you know, we've talked for years about this job and that job and this job and that job, and just a huge boom in construction. And all of our local unions have been in dire need of people and been putting people out to work pretty consistently for the last couple of years here in Central Ohio. And then those few days in March, you know, for the switch to be flipped, and a lot of it, you know, outside of construction to come to a grinding halt, has been very, very, very weird. So the biggest thing that I'm dealing with from the building trade standpoint is with developers, customers, end users, general construction GCs, you know, and also the CMs and stuff, just staying in contact with them about their projects, you know, helping my managers and agents work their way through this, especially if there's issues that need to be addressed with sanitation, with safety, with cleanliness and stuff. But I mean, you know, we've touted this on your show. Our men and women are great at working safe and taking care of themselves. So, you know, this is just an extra layer of safety that they're having to do, and an extra thing of precaution in what's became the last month a new normal, you know, of wash your hands, stay clean, you know, wear proper PPE, social distancing. So that's a lot, you know, what's going on right now. With our members, you know, I think we have a lot of members that take pride in that construction, and specifically the building trades has been deemed essential. We've got a ton of data centers continuing to be built here. You know, the government has said how important those are to get those up and online, not only for security, but also for data storage. You know, we have some other jobs that are moving forward at the same pace, the Franklin County Jail, Columbus Crew Stadium. So the work continues to go on here. Work continues to go on. Has some of the hospital work slowed down, obviously, because of the industry that they're in and what they're dealing with right now? Absolutely. Has some of the work, you know, at some of the manufacturing plants slowed down a little bit, like Honda, which we've talked about on your show, you know, because they've ceased production in North America. Yeah, that slowed down a little bit. But other than that, we're still very busy. We're still extremely busy. I just had back to the new norm. We had our executive board meeting a couple days ago. It was our first meeting by video conferencing. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. Our guys really enjoyed it. I think they enjoyed a little bit of the social interaction with somebody outside of their inner shell, and they enjoyed it. And it seemed like that all the things that we're talking about were the same things that every local union in Columbus, Central Ohio, is dealing with. So we're just trying to do our best and get through this situation and try to keep the industry moving forward.
Sure, sure. You know, Dorsey, when it comes to union construction, you know, it's safety first. I mean, the apprenticeship programs get into that right away and hammer that in to the people that are going through the programs. And it continues, too, on the job sites. And you hear about the social distancing, as you referred to. I'm just wondering if this is a good opportunity for those that are in non-union shops to maybe start reaching out to the unions, because you know there's a stark contrast between safety, making sure that the workers come home at the end of the day. You know where I'm going with all this. And I'm just wondering, and I've been hearing this, especially with the grocery workers now and in the non-union places, Trader Joe's for one, there's an organizing campaign going on there because they're not protecting the people on the front lines. And it's not like they're making a whole bunch of money over there. So I'm wondering, what are you hearing down there in Central Ohio about that?
You know, that's interesting. And that's one thing that I want to reach out to our organizers and talk to, because I know that they, you know, go to a lot of, you know, non-union jobs, and they talk to a lot of non-union members and stuff. And, you know, the biggest issue, obviously, like you said, is safety, but also healthcare. You know, some of our healthcare programs are paramount, you know, Cadillac programs that take care of not only our members and our families, and their healthcare programs that a lot of open shop companies and their employees, you know, don't partake in or even don't even have at all. So that's the big selling point for us. But the safety issue is the big one as well, and that's one thing that we're going to cover when we have our organizing meeting next week. I want to talk to our guys and see what they're seeing out there, especially when it comes to safety. One thing about the grocery workers, one thing about the warehouse workers, which we have a lot of logistics here in Columbus, is it's extremely ironic how just a few months ago, when I'm sure that we were talking about it, and you had people talking about it from the Ohio AFL-CIO about the fight for 15, and how we had people saying that folks that work in restaurants, folks that work in grocery stores are not deserving of $15 an hour, and now those same folks are deemed extremely essential. I mean, I don't know how it is in Northeast Ohio, but down here, Kroger, which is a member of the UFCW and a huge union company, I mean, they are hiring like gangbusters to make sure not only in their warehouses, but also their stores, so that way that they meet the needs of supplies and groceries and food for their customers and for everybody here in the community. And I think it's been a huge asset. And I hope that when all this is said and done and we're looking back at this and we're post-gaming it, I hope that we remember that. You know, the comparison I used to somebody the other day was, you know, almost 20 years ago was 9/11, and you had government entities, local, municipal, and statewide across the country that were trying to take away collective bargaining rights from police and fire. Well, right. 9/11 made us realize how much we really need police and fire, and also the building trade, because we were very helpful there in Ground Zero as well. To get New York City back to what, you know, we considered a new normal after 9/11. And it just makes you think that, you know, where some of these attacks on the workforce come from, you know, and it's a lot of these people that are out there every day dealing with the community, dealing with customers, putting themselves and the safety of their selves and their family on the line to be able to help the community continue to move forward.
It's just amazing how much organized labor has helped in this crisis. And I have to salute the AFL-CIO. If you go to the AFL-CIO website, AFLCIO.org, they do a daily update on what's going on in America. And I was just mentioning at the top of the show in your industry, in the construction industry, that and this came from Sean McGarvey, head of the building trades, a number of members are donating their N95 protective masks to National Nurses United, the Nurses Union, which is working overtime right now, and to the RNs. So you're seeing a whole lot of that. I would imagine you probably got a couple of stories down there in the Columbus area about what labor is doing to help out in this pandemic, don't you?
I know that Mark Fluharty from the Central Labor Council has been working around the clock. We've been trying to do all that we can to make sure. I mean, it's amazing on a national level how scarce the PPE is, you know. And yeah, that gets back to another discussion. You know, I was flipping around last night. I mean, it's, you know, obviously with no sports on, there's a lot of news and stuff. And I was flipping around last night to different news channels and hearing different things. And one guy that I like to listen to a lot, and, you know, I don't always agree with him, but I like to listen to him to hear his standpoint. I think he's an incredible businessman, but is Mark Cuban. And Mark Cuban made the comment last night. He says, I hope that when this is over, that we realize two things, he said. That one, that we realize that we need to stop depending on other countries for manufacturing. We need to bring manufacturing back here to the United States. And we need to start manufacturing things here that we need that are a necessity and stop depending on other countries. And he said and we've talked about it for 3 years now, and it hasn't happened, an infrastructure bill. And he goes, and when we talk about infrastructure, we talk about roads and highways and bridges, and those are important. But let's talk about infrastructure for IT as well, and internet and data storage and data centers, but also, you know, money to train the workforce of tomorrow to work in some of these plants and manufacturing facilities that are going to work on the robots, that are going to work through technology, that are going to man a lot of these jobs in the next generation that is going to bring manufacturing back to the United States. Because we've been talking about it, and, you know, there's been a lot of comparison, you know, to World War II, and, you know, what we went through then is a lot different than now, because we were able to convert the auto plants to make tanks. We were able to convert, you know, the different manufacturing places to make bullets and bombs and guns. And now a lot of those places that we depended on in the Mahoning Valley and in eastern Ohio and southeastern Ohio, a lot of those places are gone now. It's very sad. It's very sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know General Motors is working on the ventilators here, and that's going to be ramping up in the next couple of weeks. But you're right. You know, it seems like it takes a crisis to get anything done. Dorsey, how many times have you and I talked about, like, infrastructure, and they don't do anything until the bridge falls down? I mean, it happens all the time. And 25% of the bridges in this country are structurally deficient. And that's the sad part about it. So hopefully, I'm hoping and praying, like you said, Mark Cuban came across and said, we got to bring these industries back. We can't rely. We did a show just a couple of weeks ago on pharmaceutical. The pharmaceutical industry, 80 to 90% of the pharmaceuticals come out of China.
Yeah, and that's one of the points he made last night, and that's what he was saying when he was talking about investing in workforce development, training, and technology. You know, there's a story out of University of in Pittsburgh yesterday where they think that they found the vaccine for the coronavirus. But, I mean, you know, imagine where we could be or where we would be at if we can rebuild that pharmaceutical infrastructure, not if, but when something like this happens again, so that way we're more prepared, we're ready for it.
Exactly. All right, Dorsey, I got to take a break. Dorsey Hager on our live line with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Nikki Snazel will be joining us from the United Kingdom, talking about your immune system and how you could boost it in these crisis times. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away. Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and podcast on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Dorsey, talk to me about fair contracting, especially when it comes to healthcare. I know you wanted to get into the discussion, and maybe you could give us some details here.
Yeah, we've been talking about this pandemic. We've been talking about the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and everything that's going on. And I was in my office a couple of days ago, and I was working on some things. You know, this is terrible what's going on right now. But one thing that it has done is it's afforded me the time and opportunity to work on some things that I've wanted to work on to improve the standards here in the industry in Columbus and Central Ohio. And one of the things that I was looking back on is we have a great fair contracting, responsible contracting policy with the county. Our commissioners, John O'Grady, Kevin Boyce, and Marilyn Brown, they utilize fair contracting. So when they're awarding contracts, it's not only lowest, but it's also lowest and best. And there's several parameters in there. You know, there's safety, there's OSHA training, there's apprenticeship training and workforce development. But the big one is also healthcare, you know, and pension and annuities in there, but healthcare is in there. And, you know, if you're not providing your employees healthcare, then you're not going to be doing work, you know, that's paid for by the taxpayers of Franklin County through Franklin County because of this fair contracting, which is great. And it creates a level playing field. You know, it makes it good for the industry and makes it a level playing field here in Columbus and Central Ohio. Now, we still have some entities in Central Ohio whose fair contracting standards lag a little bit. And one of those, unfortunately, because they're, you know, they are utilizing community benefit agreements, but is the city of Columbus. And I understand the politics involved in ramping up fair contracting with the city of Columbus. They're getting an incredible amount of pressure from open shop contractors and minority contractors as well, who, in their opinion, feel like that fair contracting standards is biased, you know, towards the open shops. Well, if they're in the last month, if we haven't seen what's going on and haven't seen what's happening and haven't realized how important healthcare is, especially in trying times like these, but all the time, I mean, I don't know how you can argue against that any longer. When a contractor calls on the mayor or city councilor or somebody from his staff, and they're wanting to perform work for the city of Columbus or even Columbus City Schools. Columbus City Schools has no fair contracting policy. If they're wanting to do work and they don't offer their employees the basic human dignity and necessity as health care, how do you as a human being decide to take taxpayer dollars and funnel it to that end user or that contractor when they're not offering health care? I mean, that just seems like an incredibly important point right now. And I think that this just strengthens our argument even more for fair contracting, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the complaints or one of the other arguments is well, if I have to, you know, provide health care for my employee, that raises my costs and that makes me uncompetitive. That's not true. We have contractors that are signed to our signatory agreement. Some are one-man shops. Some have two employees. One of my best friends, a contractor that has 15 employees. He signed to the union contract. He provides his employees with apprenticeship training, health care, pension, annuity, and he's out there doing work on gas stations. He's out there doing work on small restaurants. Besides the larger places he works in, you know, the OSU hospitals and the Nationwide and the Kenworth Trucking as well. So, you know, you can do it and you can take care of your employees as well. And I just think for any entity, and we're talking about, you know, the city of Columbus and Columbus City Schools, but we can make this a broader level, the state as well. You know, when all this is said and done and we're looking back on this and we're breathing a sigh of relief, we know that there's going to be lobbying groups and entities and people in our state legislature that are going to say, you know, Ohio needs to come back and we need to recover these jobs. The way that we do this quicker is that we do away with prevailing wage and we bring right to work so we compete with these other states. And I just think that that's a huge, huge failure on all our parts. You know, we talked about at the beginning of this segment about essential workers and how important it is that they be taken care of. And I just think that this shows even more that it's not only the pay on their check, but it's also the benefits that go along with it. And it's a huge issue that we're having right now. It's a huge problem. And boy, has it really been brought to light with this issue right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Front and center. All right. One more issue here is the primary. What? How confusing this was, because right before the March 17th date, Governor DeWine pulled the plug on it and said, no, we're not going to do it. And I understand that. I mean, you have to be concerned, especially for the poll workers and all that and those in the election boards in various parts of Ohio. So now we're at April 28th. I understand there's a couple of entities that are challenging that date. They're saying it's too soon because originally they said it was going to be June 2nd. So I'm just wondering, you have some thoughts on this going forward? I know it's going to be, I guess, all through the mail
But I'd like to get your perspective on this, and I'm sure that there's a lot of scuttlebutt going on down there in central Ohio regarding this.
Yeah, and I think the stat I saw yesterday was 800,000 people have voted in the primary to date. You know, April 28th is a quick turnaround. You got to get with your board of elections. You got to request an absentee ballot. You got to send that off. You got to receive your absentee ballot in the mail. You got to fill it out, and you got to mail it back, and it has to be postmarked before April 28th. So I've been dealing with one of our state reps here, Kristen Boggs, who had some community hours online the other night and had lots of discussion on this and has gotten us a lot of information to help clarify it. And I'm trying to get it out to our members and also our members' families to make sure that they get out and they vote. And again, you know, we talk about this all the time. Not only that they get out and they vote, but they get out and they vote for the people that are supporting their issues, their jobs, their livelihood, and so that way they can support their family members. And, you know, the central committee races, which I know don't get a lot of publicity and don't get a lot of talk about, but one thing that we've worked very closely here in central Ohio with the chairman of the Franklin County Democratic Party is Michael Sexton to get our members on executive committee and central committee here in Franklin County so that way labor has a voice at the table when it comes to their local endorsements, when it comes to their issues and stuff. And we've done a great job, and he's done a great job helping us get our members involved. And we have two members on the ballot, Mackenzie Quinn and Rodney French. Rodney French is the business manager for the sheet metal workers, and he's also on our executive board. And we're trying to make sure that our members that live in their districts get out and they vote for them so that way we keep them on central committee and we keep all of our members of labor on executive committee as well so we can keep this thing moving forward. So it's not only an election, but it's also making sure you get your people, you know, where they need to be and support the ones that we need to support. So it's very interesting. It's just another thing that we're dealing with because of the issue at hand, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It seems like the election has taken a back seat here. And I know there's been a lot of confusion. I know a lot of people are upset that they didn't get a chance to go to the polls in person, but they have to understand these are dangerous times here. So I'm just hoping, I mean, you raise a really good point here because we have to get out there and educate the individuals on who is the best person suited for the job. And, you know, that's pretty difficult right now because you have to cut through all the news. And this is such a fast moving target with the coronavirus. Every day there's more information. More people are getting sick. More are dying. Should you wear a mask when you go out or not? I mean, you're hearing a lot of information and you're also hearing a lot of misinformation. So this just makes the job even that more difficult when it comes to voting. But I'll tell you, I can't stress it enough. I know we're going to be doing more here on this show between now and April 28th to make sure that people are educated on the issues and at least go out and vote. Don't let this stop you. And don't go out and vote, but do the mail part. And that's the important thing. And I'm sure you'll be doing the same. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Just make sure your voice is heard, that your vote is cast. You're absolutely right. And you talked about the information and misinformation. I think you're starting to see people now. I mean, the governor's daily press conferences at 2 o'clock, which have been great, keeping people informed. And, you know, Dr. Amy Acton getting through the health effects of it. Lieutenant Governor John Houston talking about the economic effects and what they're trying to do to help small business and unemployment, the workers and stuff like that, I think has been truly essential. But I think now that we're about a month into this thing, I think we're getting a lot of people that are starting to get information and misinformation overload and are trying to tune out a little bit because there is no escaping this. I mean, it's on the news. I told somebody this yesterday, and you and I talk about it all the time, and you know I'm a huge sports nut. You know, even though there's no sports to report on, I've been watching SportsCenter every night. And, you know, obviously the biggest thing they're talking about is the delay of different leagues, the delay of games, you know, and it is. It's like you turn the channel and there's no good news anywhere, no matter where you go. So we just have to find it, and we have to stay positive. We have to keep forging ahead.
Right. We will get through this, no doubt. We will get through this.
Yeah.
Got to keep that in mind. Okay, my brother, you take care down there. Be safe. Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find more at columbusconstruction.org, one of the many proud sponsors of America's Workforce. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. We will talk to you in a month, and hopefully we'll have some better times, okay, my friend?
Hopefully we're turning the corner on this. And Flash, to you and your family, stay safe. And for all you do, thank you so much. Truly appreciate it.
You got it. Take care, buddy.